Okay, page 28 and top 40 at the bottom, Perek Yud. And Perek Tes, after explaining what the Nefesh HaLikis is composed of, what the Nefesh HaBamis is composed of, the Rebbe explains the battle between the godly soul and the animal soul. Okay, there's a city called the body. Two kings are fighting over control of the city. The godly soul wants thought, speech, and action, intellect, emotions, everything should be permeated only with godliness, to such an extent that it overflows to the animal soul, that even that is influenced. And the Yetzer Hara wants just the opposite. But as we learned at the end of the Perek, the Zohar gives a mashal of the Zayin of the prostitute, that the king hired to test the morals of the son. The prostitute doesn't want the kid to sin, the king doesn't want the kid to sin, but in order to bring out the greatness of the son, she'll put on all her charm to convince him to sin, but down deep not wanting him to sin. And therefore the Gemara says that even the Satan and the Yetzer Hara, Neshem Shemayim Neskavnu, but the bottom line is the Yetzer Hara still tries to control the body. So now the Alter Rebbe is going to discuss what happens when the battles are won. Okay, so he says like this. Hine k'sha'od ha'magba nafsho l'kis, when a person makes the nefesh, the godly soul, strong. Nilchem kokach remember hamas, that it fights so much with the animal soul. That it gets rid and destroys the evil which is on the other side. Like it says, you will destroy the evil from your midst. But ein haram nepach l'tev mamish, the bad is not transformed to good. All you did was kill the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, but you did not transform the animal soul that it should also want God. Then you're called tzaddik she'ena gamur, you can call an incomplete tzaddik, or tzaddik virale, a tzaddik that has bad. That means there's a little bit of evil left. Even though you destroyed the Yetzer Hara completely, like David HaMelech says, my heart is hollow within me, v'libi cholo bekirbi, my heart is hollow within me, and the Gemara says, what does it mean? He killed his Yetzer Hara. But if you don't transform the Yetzer Hara to Yetzer Tov, that itself, you are called an incomplete tzaddik, and a tzaddik v'ralei. And the Alter Rebbe defines, what does tzaddik v'ralei mean? Hainu, sheyesh be'adayin ma'at mizera b'chol lasmoli. He has a little bit of evil left. But shakafuf ubotulatev, but it's bent and subjugated to the good, machmas miute, because it's so little. So the Alter Rebbe learns like this. What is the word tzaddik verale mean? Tzaddik, he's a tzaddik, he has no yetzer hara. Vera, but he has evil, but it's loy, it's bottled to him. Why does he have evil? He destroyed the evil. The fact that he didn't transform evil to good is a little bit of evil. Lochein, and therefore, nidmalei, it appears to the tzaddik, ki vayigasheo vayelech leikulei, legami, that he got rid of it completely. The tzaddik thinks, I got rid of him, I have no temptations, no evil desires, nothing. But the Alter Rebbe says, avul be'emes, but really, iluchala vaholech leilegamri, if Itaka left, the evil would have become good. And the Alter Rebbe is going to explain now why that is. But the bottom line is, the Alter Rebbe says, as long as you don't transform evil to good, you still have a little bit of bad. Because if you had no bad, the evil would be good. And the fact that you didn't transform the evil into good means there's a little slight amount of evil which is subdued and bottled and subjugated to the good. But it exists. The Alter Rebbe is going to explain now like this. Let me explain it first outside. The Alter Rebbe explains, world and godliness are two opposites. Therefore it's understood, the more you love Hashem, the more you hate evil. The more you despise evil, automatically, that means the more you love Hashem. The fact that you don't, the tzaddik v'ralei, the tzaddik she'ena gamur, doesn't despise evil, shows that his love to Hashem is incomplete, and therefore he's called tzaddik she'ena gamur. Tzaddik she'ena gamur means he's an incomplete tzaddik because his love to Hashem is not complete. And he's called tzaddik v'ralei that because he still has a little bit of evil. Because if he had no evil, he would despise evil to such an extent that the evil would become good. And if that didn't happen, you still have evil. And therefore you call tzaddik sheina gamur, because your love to Hashem is incomplete. And if your love to Hashem is incomplete, then you don't despise evil, because one is connected in the next. That means there is no evil, there is no yetzahara. To give a very gashmistic example, nobody in this room, let's say, would steal. Or nobody in this room, God forbid, would kill. Right? But that doesn't mean we despise it. In other words, anybody in this room, when you hear that somebody stole, you don't get sick over it. Or if somebody killed somebody, you don't get sick over it. No. I don't. Meaning, I wouldn't do it. I have no connection to do it. I have no desire to kill. Well, sometimes I do. But let's say I don't. But I don't despise it in such a way it's going to make me sick. They say the story, there's this famous story of the Maggid, that some people wanted to make fun of him. So they brought into his room an immodestly dressed woman, and he actually vomited. It made him sick that he actually vomited. Because that's the concept of despising evil, and that despising evil comes from the amount of love you have of Hashem. You love Hashem more, then you despise evil more. If you don't love Hashem that much, then you despise evil less. And on our level, we're not tzaddikim, we're not beinonim. But on our level, we can understand there's something that there's no way I would do it. I have no temptation to do it, yet it doesn't make me sick. Which means I don't despise it. And that is the level of tzaddik she'ena gomor. And therefore, it's tzaddik v'ra'loi, he has ra, but its lay is bottled to him. It's a very lofty level, but it's still a tzaddik she'ena gomor. If there's two opposites, two categorically opposite things, the more you love one, automatically the more you hate the next. The more you love good, automatically the more you despise evil.
Yes, but you don't necessarily associate
Hashem. Why? Good and bad, it's relative to what Hashem wants or doesn't want. If Hashem wants, is good. If Hashem doesn't want, is bad. So the question is, how much of the positive does a person have, how much negative does a person have?
Are you asking this not like an abandonment
if
somebody loves odds or loves? No, I'm saying I can despise something, you know,
like
that.
She can despise evil, that doesn't mean she'll love God.
Right.
But why do you despise evil? No, that's wrong.
Because it's a wrong thing to do.
From whom? Who said it's wrong?
Right, okay.
So if you despise something because I personally don't like it,
no.
There's nothing to do with religion.
Right.
We said many times, what's called in America traditional Jews, or in Hebrew it's called Mesorati, in Israel, right? People that are traditional Jews, they do the mitzvahs they like, and the mitzvahs they don't like, they don't do, has nothing to do with Judaism. Wrong means, by definition, because Hashem said it's wrong.
So even if you don't realize it, you're thinking that it's because Hashem said it's wrong.
Then it's not, there's nothing to do with God. So it's not to do with what he's talking about here. If you despise something because Hashem said it's wrong, then the more you despise it, the more you will love Hashem. Or the more you love Hashem, the more you despise it.
If
you're loving it though, and that love to art, music, whatever it may be, yeah, will cause you to be able to serve Hashem better, so that is also for the sake of serving Hashem.
It's just something you love.
And therefore, what do you do with it?
So then how does it necessarily move you, maybe it doesn't move you away from serving Hashem?
Ideally, and again, I'm speaking high levels now, okay, let's being realistic, we're not, okay. but talking the talk, like they say, you gotta talk the talk. Talking the talk means that if a person, a tzaddik, will only love those things that will add in the service of Hashem. Because their whole life of the tzaddik is based, and again, we're not on this level, so let's not dream about it, let's just talk about it. The life of a tzaddik is completely to serve Hashem. Correct? To make the world a better place for Hashem. Every action and reaction and every thought and speech that the tzaddik has, and it's a very difficult life for you. Last week we were talking, you know, what's so hard about being a tzaddik. Every action and reaction and thought and speech and everything is either utilized to serve Hashem, and if not, they have absolutely no interest in it.
But it's not different for Russia. It's just, it's the flip side of it. But it's not, it's the same rule pretty much for Russia, isn't it?
That what?
That every action that he has is either towards loving Hashem or moving away from Hashem. There is no middle.
In Perek Yud Aleph, what we will learn about the definition of a Rasha, what we call today a tzaddik, is a Rasha v'tevli. What we call a tzaddik is a Rasha v'tevli. Not even a beinin. So there's no flip side by the Rasha.
It is. Everything that you're doing, everything that a person does in this world is either moving towards Hashem and recognizing Hashem or moving towards the world and recognizing the world.
No.
So it's either evil or good. There is no middle, there's no neutral. I'm just doing this because I'm just...
Now, the neutral, though, could be used to serve Hashem.
So it goes one way or the other. There is
correct.
No middle ground.
That's right.
For Russia, for anybody.
For nobody.
You're moving from love, hate, or...
It's either good or bad. There is no in-between good and bad.
But whether you're connected with that will not be beneficial. Yes, the action might be good or bad for that, someone against that. But if you're connected with that, if you do it with consciousness, it might be counted. If it's not with consciousness, it might not be counted. It might be still
good.
Bad.
It's not good or bad.
People have to be conscious of what they do.
There's still no middle. There's no middle at any point. That's what I'm trying to say.
There is no middle in this
field.
See, that's what one thing Chassidus did. Chassidus took away the middle. Chassidus took away the middle. Without Chassidus, there's a middle. There's holy, there's sin, and there's neutral. Chassidus comes along and says, there's no neutral. It's either holy or evil. There is no middle. The difference is, as we mentioned last week, the difference is the definition of good and bad on tzaddik level is different than good and bad on our level. A tzaddik's level is the battle of a tzaddik, you said last time, is the battle between good and better. If the tzaddik does good instead of better, they did bad. No. Therefore, the definition by a tzaddik of bad is good instead of better. By a rasha, that's not defined as bad. They're both good. So it's a whole different story. Yeah, this life is not... that's why I thank God we don't have to become tzaddikim. Okay, four lines in the bottom. So he says, and the explanation of this is as follows. Kinei tzaddik gomor... What's a tzaddik gomor? Not the incomplete tzaddik that he spoke until now. What is a complete tzaddik? That the evil is transferred to good. Therefore, he's called tzaddik v'tevli. Why? Because how does he become a tzaddik v'tevli? How does he become the ultimate complete tzaddik? Is they hasaris abageim matzein legamri meharab, by removing completely the evil garments, which means lemes ma'ed, to actually despise Tainuga Elam Haza, the pleasures of this world. Lisanig them from enjoying them, but Tainuga's B'nei Adam, the way people like to enjoy them. Lemailas Tavis Aguf Bilvad, only for the bodily enjoyment. V'lei Lavedas Hashem, and not for the service of Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, a tzaddik gomor will despise anything in the world which is not for serving Hashem. If it's not serving Hashem, it's despicable in the eyes of the tzaddik. The tzaddik gomor. Why? Because any temptations, even kosher ones, are from evil. And anything which is from evil, the tzaddik gomor will hate it with the ultimate hatred. Why? Because of his love that he has to Hashem. He loves Hashem so much that anything that contradicts Hashem, he hates. And evil, even neutral evil, is evil, and therefore contradicts God. Ba'ava rabba, because he loves it with this tremendous love, betainugim, with enjoyment, v'chiba yaseira, now this extra love that he spoke about that the person has. Why? Why is hatred of world based on how much love of Hashem you have? Because one is opposite the next. Evil is opposite of Kedusha. Kedusha is the opposite of evil. Therefore, like it says in the Pasuk, David HaMelech says, Tachlis sinna senesim, it refers to evil. And David HaMelech says, with the ultimate level of hatred, I hated them. La'evim hoyuli, they were enemies to me. Chakreini v'dalavavi, seek me out and check my heart and you'll see that it's true. By the way, the Rebbe just mentions in many times in passing, even though seemingly by David HaMelech it only says, Libi cholo bekirbi, my heart is hollow within me, which is a level of tzaddik she'ena gamur, that was only the beginning of his avodah. There's no question David HaMelech, the Rebbe writes, reached the level of tzaddik gamur, like it says by Avram, Umetzasa es levavoi, with the two bases, both hearts. David HaMelech initially said, Libi cholo bekirbi. That's the level of tzaddik she'ena gomer, that he killed the Yetzer Hara. But eventually, David HaMelech definitely reached the level of a tzaddik gomer, that David HaMelech was. Which, by the way, explains that all these incidents in Tanakh, which are made into movies, about David HaMelech's desires and passions and temptations and lusts, are way out of whack, because you can't have a temptation if you don't have a Yetzer Hara. It just doesn't exist. There's nothing causing it to happen. There is no, David HaMelech had no temptation. That's what the Gemara said. Whoever said David HaMelech sinned is making a mistake, and so on and so forth. So he says, so, k'v'erech g'edol la'ava l'Hashem, based on the level of love that they have to Hashem, k'v'erech g'edol la'sinna l'sitra achra, that's how much hatred you have to evil, v'amiyas b'rabit tachlis, and how much you despise evil. Why? Because despising something is contrary to love, just like hatred is. Just like sin, hatred, is the opposite of love, despising something is also the opposite of love. So therefore the tzaddik gomor, because he has complete ava of Hashem, therefore he's called tzaddik gomor, therefore he's called tzaddik v'tovlin. Tzaddik she'ena gomor, meaning his love to Hashem is incomplete. How do we know his love to Hashem is incomplete? Because he doesn't despise evil. Then he's tzaddik v'ra, he has evil left. And what's the evil? That he doesn't despise evil. So he says, the tzaddik she'ena gomor, the tzaddik which is incomplete, is she'ena se'ena sitracha betachas sasin. He doesn't hate evil with the ultimate despising. And therefore he doesn't despise evil, because he doesn't hate it completely. And therefore any time the hatred and despising is ultimate, I mean, it's not ultimate despising and hatred, you still have to love it. And he says a very powerful language. If you don't despise evil, that means there's a certain level of love to evil. But it's bloy, it's bottled to him. If you don't despise evil completely, you have a little bit of love to evil. Because if you would despise it completely, if you didn't like it at all, and yet only loved Hashem, you would despise it completely.
If you say that evil and the opposite, grace comes from God, good, and how could you despise something to that degree?
Because
you know that they're both coming from God.
How do you despise something God made? Because God says, I want you to despise it.
I know, but if you truthfully know that everything comes from God, you cannot despise something that you call, you think.
Why? What happens if Hashem says, I want you to despise it? And the only reason Hashem says, the only reason I made it, is for good to be good.
And then you know it's true.
No. When you know it's true that what? That Hashem says hate it? Then we're supposed to hate it.
No, you know it's true that it has come
from Hashem. Yeah. But you have to look at it, the evil part of it that's going against Hashem, that's what you have to hate. But exactly. Understanding, though, that Hashem made it for you really to do good. In Chassidus it explains, sinning is good or bad?
Sin.
Huh?
Sin.
No, sinning is good. After the fact. Not before. Before you sin, sin is awful, terrible, disgusting, disastrous. Okay? Now, therefore Hashem says don't sin. Because sin is terrible. But when a person does sin, who made him sin? Who allowed him to sin? Who gave him the ability to sin? Hashem. Now,
one minute.
So why does Hashem allow him to sin?
They
can do tshuva and reach a higher level than he did if he didn't sin. But that's only after the sin, not before.
It's the timing.
If before you sin, you will say, you know what? I want to do tshuva, so I'm going to sin, and then I'm going to do tshuva. So then the Gemara says, Ha'emir echta v'ashev, he must speak and be other as his tshuva. We don't give him the opportunity to do tshuva. He can push through, he can fight and get, but Hashem doesn't help him doing it. Hashem will make it difficult for him to do tshuva. Because tshuva is what caused you to sin. Why did you sin? Because you could do tshuva. So tshuva becomes an agent, an accomplice in the sin, and the prosecutor cannot become the defense attorney. If tshuva was the reason you sinned, so Hashem is not going to let you do tshuva, because tshuva was part of the sin. But if a person sinned after the fact, and these are sichas and Rebbe and Chelik, precious of all the kutu sichas in this week's parsha, Atam chashavtam l'ayroal, kim chashavim l'teva. The Rebbe explained even more. The Rebbe explains not only is the descent for the elevation, descent itself is elevation. The selling Yosef was good. Not it only brought to good. The selling Yosef as a slave, that itself was excellent, was great, after the fact. After the fact.
So it's the time.
Timing before or after the sin? Before the sin, Hashem says, despise it, because I don't want you to do it. Is there as a test, a challenge? Don't fail, don't sin. But Hashem is so kind, and He says, you know what? Even when you failed, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pass better than you did if you didn't fail. Which is called tshuva.
What if the drive that is sent is more than the drive to sin? Not sin.
The drive to sin is more?
The drive that is sent from God is more than the drive.
If there's got these technical issues, how he wants to deal with it. It's his business. How Hashem wants to deal with it, that's his business. But the point of it is that a person has to despise evil just because Hashem doesn't like it. Now, Hashem doesn't like it before you did it. Because Hashem doesn't like it, He said, don't do it. After you did it, Hashem said, you know what? You did something very good. Because now, you could do tshuva and make it better than it was if you never sinned to begin with. So, remarkable, kind of, if you think about it, it's unbelievable.
If it works, people die without tshuva, it's the fall of the
star. How do you know?
No, I'm saying if.
How do you know? Why should we say somebody dies without tshuva? The Gemara says, Acher, the famous Elisha ben Avuya, the teacher of the Rameir, became an Epicurus, mamish, a complete Epicurus. And Rameir said to him once, Rebbe, Rebbe, do tshuva. So he said, Acher said, this is after he sinned, Acher said, I heard a voice from heaven that said, everybody can do tshuva except Acher. So Acher said to Rameir, if God already says I can't do tshuva, why should I do tshuva? You understand, the guys are sinning, still hears voices from heaven. Not Meshugoyim that hear God talking to them. He heard a voice from heaven that God said everybody can do tshuva except Acher. So Chassidus explains that was his downfall. Logically, he was right. He comes to Rameir and says, hey, how do you expect me to do tshuva when God himself says I can't do tshuva? So Chassidus explained, what was Acher's problem? If he wanted to, he could have done tshuva, even though Hashem said no. Because Hashem saying no means I'm letting you do it, I'm just not helping you. I'm not giving you the opportunity, I'm going to block it. But what does Hashem say? Acher didn't learn Chassidus, that was his problem. If Acher learned Chassidus, he would have known that even when the voice comes out from heaven and says, you can't do tshuva, everybody could do tshuva except Acher. Acher should have said, you know what? I don't care, I'm going to do tshuva anyway, and he would have been accepted. The problem is, he didn't learn Chassidus. That was his problem. Like many others. Okay, let's finish this up. Lachain, le'napach le'tev mamish, therefore it wasn't transformed to good. Because he still has the connection to these evil garments. It's bottle completely nullified. And if it's considered nothing. He says, so the Altareb is just adding two words into it. Tzadik v'ra. The Gemara says, but the Altareb has kafuf u'batulei. It's bottle to him. Valkanan, therefore, Gamavosil Hashem Eina Betachlus. His love to Hashem is not complete, and therefore it's called Tzadik Sheina Gomer. The Altareb is explaining the redundancy of the expressions. We say it's Tzadik Sheina Gomer is Tzadik Verale. What's the difference between the two expressions? So the Altareb is explaining Tzadik Sheina Gomer means he's incomplete in his love of Hashem. Therefore, he has a Tzadik Verale. Therefore, he still has a little bit of evil left. Why? Because he's ain't a gomor. But if it's a tzadik gomor, which means his love to Hashem is ultimately complete, then he's tzadik v'tevloi, there's only good. There is no existence of evil. So that was just explaining the double expression. Can we leave it here?